Welcome to Life Quest, a program that directs you to subjects and books that will make a difference in your life. A program that will make you think and strengthen your journey of faith in the 21st century. My name is Dwight Lainhoff. Susan Gregory is an author, a blogger. She spent many years as a Bible teacher, as a volunteer in her church and various Christian and civic organizations, usually in the greater Seattle area. We're going to talk to her today about the book, The Daniel Fast. Welcome to LifeQuest, Susan.
Hi, Dwight. So glad to be with you today. Thanks for having me.
Well, this is quite a book, and we have to ask you some questions. What is the Daniel Fast? And I understand this really started out as a giant blog.
Well, it did. The Daniel Fast is a type of spiritual fasting. It's a method of fasting. And it's what's known as a partial fast. There's a what's called an absolute fast. That's when you have no water, no food, nothing. That's what Moses went on. Then we have what's called a normal fast, and that's when you drink water. Sometimes people will drink juice, but it's only liquids. Mm-hmm. And that's what we saw Jesus going on in the wilderness. And then there's the partial fast, and that's where some foods are restricted, but other foods are allowed. And that's what the Daniel fast is. So it's, and people generally go on the fast for about 21 days. It's based on the fasting experiences of the Old Testament prophet Daniel. Mm-hmm. And I was getting ready to do a Daniel fast. I was in prayer. This was back in 2007. And I was going through a really, really rough period in my life. And my real estate investing business was crumbling with the changes going on in the U.S. economy. And
yes.
The subprime mortgage debacle, and I heard a voice from the Lord in my spirit, and he said, start writing about the Daniel fast.
Hmm.
And so that's what I did. I created the blog, and now that was in 2007, and since that time, I've been able to teach literally hundreds of thousands of people about this type of fasting.
Now, when you say you teach it, you taught it on your blog, but do you go around to churches or various areas also doing this?
I sometimes go to churches and with groups, but it's primarily over the internet. What happens, Dwight, is that people go to church and their pastor says, okay, we're all going to start a Daniel fast and we're going to start tomorrow. Now, they've, you know, have had some warning time, but it's like, oh my goodness, it starts tomorrow.
Right.
So where do you go to find information? You go to the internet. And so that's where I've been able to communicate with so many people.
You talk about, in your book, you like to start the new year this way.
Yes, it's a powerful experience to begin the new year with an extended period of prayer and fasting. And literally, and this is, it's not a trend that's happening. Trends, usually we think of them as something that starts and then ends.
Right.
I believe it's a movement, a new way that literally hundreds of thousands of Christians around the world are starting the new year with prayer and fasting. And it's an extended period, and what it is, a time when you can focus your attention on the Lord, seek his wisdom for your life. If you've got some challenges, you can present those challenges to him and have him teach us and direct us. And so I, along with many, many more people all over the world now, start the new year with prayer and fasting.
In this period of time, when you are restricting your diet, and you're talking about prayer, how often do you pray, and how specific are your prayers?
I think it's very important to go into a period of prayer and fasting with a purpose. Now, that purpose may be to develop some new spiritual disciplines in your life, like daily prayer or daily time in the Word. You may have a very specific need, and so if there is a challenge, if you are being challenged financially or in a relationship or a health issue, then you want to be presenting that to the Lord during your period of prayer and fasting. You want to be studying what the Word of God has to say about these circumstances. The thing that I keep teaching people, our Father only knows victory, and he wants us to experience that same victory. So if we're not experiencing victory in our life, then we can take our issues to him and have him teach us and direct us. So you do want to have the specificity of knowing what, you know, what you're praying about. Now, a powerful benefit, and no matter what you're praying about. A huge, powerful benefit is that you end up developing a more intimate and closer time with the Lord because you're meeting with Him on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you say, how many times a day do you pray?
Right.
First of all, I think it's really important to isolate a period of time daily to pray. The Word teaches us that discipline, and so most people, that works best in the morning. So you have your isolated time of meeting, your quiet time with the Lord. But then you can pray throughout the day. They don't have to be, you know, it's not always down on your knees or using that time that you're driving to work. One of the things that I do, which I really love doing, is when I'm doing kind of mindless tasks around the house, whether it's doing laundry or cooking or straightening things up, it's a great time to pray or memorize scripture or declare and claim the things of the Lord. So you can use those little snippets of time. Many people during the Daniel fast, most people go on the Daniel fast for 21 days, and they oftentimes dedicate their lunch hour at work for studying God's Word. So they'll say, okay, for these next 3 weeks, I'm not going to go to lunch with my friends or anything. Mm-hmm. I'm going to find a quiet place and dedicate that time to the Lord.
You talk about this 21-day period. You do this more than once a year?
I have done it more than once a year. Any time that I feel that there is something that a significant issue that I need to present to the Lord, or if I want to learn something. For instance, last year in 2011, I wanted to go into an extensive study about prayer. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to go on a Daniel fast, and during that period, I'm going to dedicate my study time and my prayer time to learning about prayer. And so I got study books together, and of course I had the scriptures, and every morning I would spend, at that time, I would put about 2 hours worth of study time. I'd get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and learn about prayer. And, you know, knowledge is something that always stays with you. And so it wasn't like I only did intensive prayer for this three-week period, but instead I learned the principles of prayer and then could carry it throughout the rest of my life. I've used the Daniel fast for as few days as 9 days at a time.
Mm-hmm.
I've also used it for as many as 50 days.
Wow.
It's a very, very healthy way to eat, and it's really good for your body. People are able to control type 2 diabetes and high blood pressure, high cholesterol, by eating according to the Daniel fast. And so it's a very powerful time. And that's one of the reasons that in the book, I say that it's to feed your soul, strengthen your spirit, and renew your body, because it is so good for the body to give what this body that God created, the foods that He created for it.
As our listeners read the scripture, they have come across these various passages, different characters in the Bible who have been a part of fasting and prayer. Let me ask you this. What kind of reaction are you getting from religious leaders and pastors of churches?
It's become a growing movement where more and more pastors are leading their congregations to start the new year or at other times during the year into a period of prayer and fasting. So it's becoming very, very, very popular in that we haven't done a lot of fasting. Not in the many, many Protestant churches have not done a lot of fasting. Those churches that follow the liturgical year, that
yes.
practice Lent and that, they do experience fasting. And one of the things that is going on is now more and more people that practice Lent use the Daniel fast as their method of fasting.
Is that so?
Yeah, so it's great. But it's becoming very, very popular. And because, first of all, the fasting was designed by God. He was the one that created the fast. When God instructed the Israelites to enter into the Passover, that is a type of fasting. They were to restrict food. There were only some foods that they could eat. There were some foods that they couldn't. That's fasting. And so this is a discipline created by God for His people. Fasting is not for God. It's not like we don't go enter a fast to show God how good we are or to prove to Him that we can follow a discipline. Instead, fasting is to help us separate ourselves for a short period of time, but in an intense way, to draw closer to Him, to dig into His Word, to learn from him and see how the Word of God can change our lives.
I really like what you're saying there, because at first glance, one could say, well, fasting, I'm doing this for God. I'm somehow going to plead and try to persuade him to do something. But in fact, it's quite different.
It is quite different. And so often I hear from people, because I receive hundreds and actually thousands of emails from people all over the world who are fasting, and they'll say, oh, I don't want to disappoint God. I want to do really well on this fast.
Mm-hmm.
But it is Jesus is the one that shows our righteousness to God. It is through Jesus that we gain our righteousness. And so we're not proving anything to God. He uses this time of prayer and fasting for us so that we can turn to him. And it's kind of like, you know, Dwight, when you go on vacation, when you're preparing for the vacation, you actually prepare for it. You make reservations. You maybe pack some different kinds of clothes. You may take a few different things to the vacation location with you because of the activities you're going to do on the vacation. And when you get there, you have a definite purpose. You're
right. Either
it's going to be a quiet time or a fun time or whatever. But you are acting differently. It's for an isolated period of time. Very similarly, when we go on a fast, we want to prepare for it. We want to get ready for it. We want to make sure that we are gathering the study materials we want, that we're clearing our calendar so that won't have a lot of distractions, that we set this time apart. And then when we actually go into the fast, participating with it and involving ourselves in the fast, then it's not typical of our daily life. It's a different period of time. And, oh, people say, oh, you know, I don't ever want to leave this. I want to fast all the time. Now, it isn't designed to be all the time, but we can take those absolutely wonderful lessons that we learn during our time of prayer and fasting and then incorporate those disciplines, those experiences, those new habits into our daily life. And that's how we become changed and how we move into being more like Christ.
Folks, if you've just tuned in, I'm talking with Susan Gregory. She's written a book called The Daniel Fast. Susan, talk to us about what specific kinds of food that come into the Daniel Fast program.
Well, the Daniel Fast is, I like to describe it as it's like a vegan diet with more restrictions. It's based on the fasting experiences of the Old Testament prophet Daniel.
Uh-huh.
And he, in Daniel 1, he asks the steward who is giving him food. They were trying to give him the food of King Nebuchadnezzar, and there's a great story about that whole thing, and I really encourage people to read the whole book of Daniel. It's a powerful book.
Right.
But Daniel did not want the food of the king. It had been offered to the Babylonian guards. It also had not been, the meat had not been prepared in the strict rules that the Jewish food must be prepared. And so he said, feed us only pulse. Pulse is food grown from seed. That's what the Hebrew translations, they use the word pulse. Some versions now use the word vegetables,
mm-hmm.
But it's pulse, food grown from seed. So feed us only pulse and give us only water to drink. So the Daniel fast is a totally 100% plant-based diet. And the only beverage on the fast is water. And then later in Daniel 10:3, when the prophet is fasting, he says, I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And this was at a period when Daniel was praying about the captivity, being in captivity, and the whole nation. And so no meat crossed his mouth, no pleasant foods. So we have no sweeteners, no deep fried foods,
mm-hmm.
no bread, because that's consistent with Jewish fasting principles. It's actually no leavened products,
right.
So if flatbreads would be allowed. And only healthy oils, no chemicals, no artificial sweeteners and preservatives. So the Daniel fast, is like a vegan diet with a few more restrictions, no coffee, no
mm-hmm.
sodas, no. Even though it's a very healthy way to eat, you can make recipes that are very pleasing. There's still enough restrictions that you have the experience of battling between the spirit and the flesh. And so there's some great lessons we can learn during this time of prayer and fasting, plus, the body reacts to this very, very good. The first few days, you may feel some fatigue. If you haven't prepared your body before you begin the fast, like tapering off of coffee and tapering off anything with caffeine, you may experience some physical difficulties. But then you shift into this renewed energy, and many, many people feel better than they have felt in decades while going on the Daniel fast.
You continue to eat, what, 3 meals a day?
Yes, there's no restriction on the number of times you can eat or even the amount you can eat. But we're fasting, and so this isn't a time to be gorging ourselves. One of the really important things about this, Dwight, is that, granted, we're entering a time of prayer and fasting, and the way we experience this fast is by eating foods that may be different than what we normally eat, and we need to use recipes that are different and have foods that are different, but we don't want the focus of the fast to be on the food, and it's one of the things that I really encourage people to make sure they keep first things first. The word says, seek first the kingdom of God. And it's really, I see so often this trend of people putting so much energy and time and focus on the food and what they're cooking and making sure that it's tasty and great. That's not what a fast is about. We enter a time, and it's a spiritual experience, a consecrated time that we enter it with the Lord, and part of that is changing the way we eat. We're putting every single part of our being, body, soul, and spirit, into this fast. And so we're eating differently, we're using our time differently, and we're coming to the Lord with specific needs or are wanting to learn from Him.
And I appreciate that emphasis. Your book does contain some recipes, because some people would need some specific guidelines, wouldn't they?
That's absolutely right.
We have a few more minutes. Can you give me a story or two about some people that have connected with you and the results and the experiences that they had?
Well, a woman, I was just on the phone to her today. She called me, and we had a little chat, and her name also was Susan. And she told me, she said, I was helping her with an issue, and she said, you know, I want to tell you one thing. She said, I only started fasting 2 years ago, and I started dedicating the beginning of the year with prayer and fasting, and I used your book, and I used the Daniel fast. And she said, but I can't, she says, I am absolutely amazed at the power that we have when we use prayer and fasting as part of our spiritual life. And she said, in 2011, she started the new year with prayer and fasting. And then she said, and even things that I was praying about and bringing before the Lord then, she said, Susan, I started seeing them happen throughout the year. Even in this last December, I saw that the things that I brought before the Lord during my time of prayer and fasting in January, He was answering in December. And you could just feel the energy and the excitement that she was feeling. I also heard from another woman, one of my favorite stories, and I just think it's such a blessing and shows how God works with us. Not only are we going to dedicate our time and use it differently, and we're going to eat differently, but the Holy Spirit enters into this experience with us. And so this woman had been estranged from her son for 15 years, where he had refused to interact with her for whatever reasons. She didn't go into what those reasons, but you could tell that it was the real heartache of a mother. She had not spoken with her adult son for 15 years. And so she started, that was the priority and the purpose of her fast. She said, I want to connect with my son. She says, if there's things I need to change, I'll do it. Whatever, I want this connection to be restored. And so she started praying and fasting about connecting with her son. She started using the scriptures about relationships between children and their parents. And she started praying that people and circumstances and events would come into her son's life that would point him back to God, and through that point him back to her. And so she sent me an email, and after she'd been fasting for about 15 or 16 days, her son, out of the blue, not really, but, you know, had been prompted by the Holy Spirit and called her.
My goodness.
They had not been in contact for 15 years. And so there's just amazing experiences that can happen. The most powerful one is that people develop a deeper and more profound and more intimate relationship with the Lord. People who have not been able to have never been able to have the discipline of a daily time with the Lord. That's never, you know, for whatever reason, they've always had distractions or for whatever reasons that have kept them from developing that discipline. They go on the Daniel fast. They set this time aside for 21 days. They start spending a specific time during the day with the Lord, and then it becomes part of their daily life. And the benefits from it are so great that they don't want to give it up.
The book is The Daniel Fast. It's by Susan Gregory. It's a Tyndale House publication. Susan, how can people get your book?
Well, it's available on Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble, any online or local booksellers. They can also go to my website, which is Daniel-Fast.com. They can Google it. We're all over Google, but just put in Daniel Fast, and it's easy to find. It's praise God. I thank him for the work that he has given me and the honor that I've had of being able to minister to so many people, but it is considered the go-to book about the Daniel Fast, and it continues to be a bestseller.
Susan, thank you so much for being with us today.
I am delighted. This has been a wonderful time. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to LifeQuest today. If you have questions or comments, you may send them to lifequest@lifetalk.net or write to LifeQuest at P.O. Box 33082, Knoxville, Tennessee 37930. I'm Dwight Lainhoff.